Welcome home. We are WNST. We're AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. At some point, I'll change over to my 26th anniversary oyster and crab. On Friday, we're going to be celebrating 26 years. And I had 56 pepperonis for my birthday over at Pizza John's 2 weeks ago. I don't know what I'm going to do at Mama's on the half shell. I'm getting together with my friend Scunny, my late great friend Scunny's son Finn. We're going to have an oyster. Probably going to have some proper crab cakes. We're going to do it up. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. The Raven scratch offs we will have with us. We're in Owings Mills at the Mama's on the half shell. So we look forward to that. The kids call it Foundry Row. I call it Painter's Mill, where I once saw Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. I missed that Pretenders and that police show out there, but there were some great shows at Painter's Mill. We'll honor all that on Friday. Our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Short week this week. Luke's back and forth. I'm sort of like The Rock. Like, finally, I have returned to Owings Mills. It's been a couple of years since I've been to Owings Mills, but Luke will be out there all week long. Brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Also, the Oyster Tour up and running.
Whoa.
Supporting
I
our.
got to get involved in the Oyster Tour, bro.
Well, hang on, Munch, because I got to talk about Ray Bachman. Ray Bachman
Okay.
battling cancer right now.
Oh.
We just put out our Oyster Tour this week, where I had an oyster with him down at Mike's. Liberty Pure Solutions, 1-800 Clean Water is the way to make that happen. Also, Liberty Pure Solutions, keeping our water clean, keeping the bay clean, are the oysters, which is part of the education of what I'm doing around here, as well as our friends at Curio Wellness and Far and Daughter. I'm wearing my gear. I wore my orange. And Munch Bishop's just in here. He's just like, we're in studio. We're old boys here. He's only done radio 20 years longer than me in Cleveland. And, I see when I've come to Cleveland all these years. I mean, I'm going back to like Elway, the drive game, back when the mini Alexander and Benitez, just we stole your team, bad stuff, just everything that happened. Tim
Thanks a
Couch's name.
lot,
Tim
pal.
Couch's name came up this week, believe it or not. It wasn't even me. It was Luke's fault. We're talking about
Tim's a
one
good
ones.
people. He's a good man.
Right, but so all of this, that goes on. When I come there and I see Browns fans, I think that is some ugly ass orange. They look like orange M&Ms. They've gone heavier in on the orange than the brown from back in the day and whatever from the Modell era and all that, from when Jim Brown wore those the fantastic brown tops and what. And I'm thinking, oh, the Orioles are orange too, and everything in my closet's orange. Why does it look different on Browns fans than it looks on Orioles fans? Why does it look regal on us?
Well, you know what? Because for the Browns fans, as I call them, the hardcore, the rabble, okay, is that they're usually drunk and they're dragging their knuckles. So of course something's going to look different on them than on you.
So you've gone like total kayfabe, like you've just stopped the Gordon Solie Mean Gene act. You are just, you're fed up. I mean,
Oh, bro,
not
I
Michael
divorced them.
fed up, but like, give everybody your background and your love of Cleveland sports, because I get it from people that like, I don't love the teams enough, and I'm like, I spent my first 50 years of my life just traveling around trying to examine these teams. And I know you've done that in Cleveland, and I don't want to say it's been worse for you. We had Angelos here, right? And when I look at your baseball team since the mid-90s, it's been okay. I mean, not great, but okay. You had LeBron. You guys have had it okay. We've had two parades here, but there's something about the Cleveland thing and the anger that's built into what the Browns have really put your community through in a general sense that you've really taken it to heart.
I certainly have. I mean, for 65 cognizant years as a fan, actually a little bit longer than that since I'm 72, is that I was a kid, and I've told you this before, 5 years old with my face pressed up against the single pane glass, waiting for my dad to get off the bus with my uncles after they've gone downtown to the Browns game, just hoping, saying a little prayer. I know I wasn't supposed to pray for things like that, but saying a prayer that he bought me back a program. And the Browns used to sell this little orange drink in like a megaphone type container. Remember the old wax containers?
Sure.
And so you'd poke out the end. Now, my mom would wash it out first because there were some spirits poured into the orange drink there during the game, but she'd give it to me and I'd run around the house looking at the program, yelling Browns, go Browns on down the line. Well,
What
that's
year is
just.
that? Is it was that 60? Was that Jim
I'm
Brown
talking
era?
wait, I'm talking 57 and 58.
Okay, all right. So your memories are align with where Johnny U and Art Donovan and Lenny Moore would be here. Correct.
Exactly.
Okay.
And hence I know all those gentlemen too because of the rivalries that we've had. So, as you go along and in the late 80s for 4 years, My Christmas present to my parents, I was in Columbus at the time, was season tickets to Browns games. You've never seen a 65-year-old Slovenian woman standing up barking for her Cleveland Browns, okay, on the 40-yard line. That was my mom, and it was my dad. They went to all the games. When my mom passed, I was called home in 90. Used to take my dad all the time. In fact, until a few years ago, my sons and I were regulars. You know, yes, I have a press pass, but you can't scream and yell or take your kids up in the press box, so I would go to them. But Nestor, things changed, not just when Jimmy Haslam and the Haslam family bought the team, but the nonsense, the shenanigans, the dastardly deeds started almost immediately. You know, here's a guy, and from the get-go, I didn't really care for him. He had Tennessee orange on, not Browns orange. I'm colorblind, and I could even tell the difference, okay? So that got to me at the first press conference ever. I mentioned that to his PR guys. They go, "Oh, dude, you're not going to say it." I said, "Yeah, I'm going to say something. It's like not Browns orange, it's Tennessee orange. It's a big, big difference. You know, this is the Cleveland Browns. This is something that is
Well, we got an
ingrained."
Orioles owner that was down at the Commanders game last week running around, and I'm like, that's not normal around here. I mean, we're old school in that way. And I listen, carpetbagging owners, right?
Oh, we've
Beginning
got
with
one.
Ursay here, right? I mean, Ursay, you talk about your team being taken from you. I got a Baltimore Colts belt buckle 5 feet away
Love it.
from me that I look at from my childhood and say that, and my old Oilers stuff. I was an Oilers fan. These franchises, they're businesses, and I get that, but they can act within the framework of integrity if they choose to, and they can choose to be a community asset, and they can choose to be a trusted community asset, but so few do anymore. And
It's
that's the
rich
part.
guys playing with, and I don't begrudge their earnings, but it's big boys playing with very expensive toys, and they're my toys, not yours, and that's how they go. But the bottom line,
Yeah, but with
Nestor,
no guardrails to accountability
none.
that even Art Modell had to have in Cleveland because he was out selling tickets in his era, in the way that Bob Irsay couldn't get that done here. Quite frankly, in the way that Angelos couldn't get that done here, in the way that your baseball team still struggles to sell tickets there, and everybody pines
Well, hold on.
away from Browns for 50 years.
Over 2 million fans this year. They didn't struggle at all to sell tickets this year. But in the past, they have. There's no doubt about that. You know, and it's interesting. Why? Because the Dolans are cheap. But you know what, Nestor? I can go down the stats with you. Since the Haslams took under the winning percentages, they're embarrassing. When somebody says to me or has me on their show in Cleveland or a writer or something, I usually keep them nearby and I go, okay, here are your winning percentages year to year. You can't go by how many games you won. There's a huge difference between 17 now and 162, if not more. But it's just embarrassing since the day the Haslams have taken over, from Johnny Manziel to Josh Gordon to Callaway. I can go on. And you know, the trucks, the pilot Flying J truck scandal that I know for a fact the FBI wanted Jimmy in a bad, bad way, but he had a very, very loyal lieutenant who actually got about $50 million too to take the fall for him and spend 5 years in one of those country club prisons. It's still a prison, but the bottom line is, no, these are not, I call them immoral and dishonest people, and that's who's running a once beloved franchise. But please don't tell me that the fan, well, it's in my genes or the, no, it's not. You know what I mean? So you want somebody to take your wife, move across the street from you, and keep the curtains open in the bedroom while they go at it, okay? And you're gonna watch every night? No, absolutely not. But the topper, of course, was the Watson trade. On that day, I said, "I'm done." I divorced myself from them. I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but my oldest daughter
I used
was
to
a
see you at the games all the time because I came to
dude. I was
Cleveland every
old. I didn't
year.
miss one. The only time I've been in the stadium since they said they were signing Watson, three times. Eminem. I'm sorry, MGK. Eminem's our Detroit guy, okay? But MGK did a stadium, the Stones, and for a high school football game. And I've just divorced him, but I'll never forget my daughter from Manhattan, president of the Browns Backers of Manhattan, pretty good sized club, right? Called me and says she just resigned, that she wants nothing to do with the team anymore. She was in tears. And she's got a powerful gig, man. She's a, I call her the hedge fund queen of New York City. And she goes, she was done with them. I did what she did too, except for two ball caps, classics. Piled all my gear up, and the shelter I serve dinner at on Tuesdays, I'll see most of the people in there wearing my old Browns gear because I had 40, 50 t-shirts on down the line, just like you.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and look, I can trudge into that as Baltimore negative versus Baltimore positive and where we are. Certainly the Angelos ride here, and me being a media member that has been literally targeted to be removed, and removed.
Yeah, you were.
Like literally that's what's happened, right? So I mean, then that's happened in full view of everyone. Like it, hate me, love me, whatever it is, like free speech, but only like it on your own terms. And certainly from an accountability standpoint, the things that I've written about here, just in since my childhood, 1968, I was born, the bullets leaving Baltimore and my father's angst about that, and they weren't on the bus line when they went down to. It'd be like taking the team to Ridgefield, right out of Cleveland, but there was no way to get there if you
No.
lived in Parma. You know what I
Exactly.
mean?
Or if
And
you
you
lived in the
worked
inner
at the
city,
plant,
where so
and
many of the
you,
fans live.
right. And if you took public transportation, which my dad always did, my dad never drove. You know, we lived in the 23 bus line, so sort of famously in the 70s. And you know, it's not we. Privileged or underprivileged or anything, like my dad just didn't drive, right? He was epileptic and just didn't drive. So I didn't know that till after he was dead, but we took buses everywhere. And so my dad shuddered at that. And then I saw my dad cry twice in his life, the day his sister died and the day the Colts left town. So I can tell you what morning that was, you know, March 29th, 1984.
So
I'm
we feel the same
15 years
pain.
old. Yeah. So, you know, that happened. And I've watched all this, and now I watch Bisciotti and now Rubenstein and Arrighetti, it'll be, play this game that's really no different than Donald Trump dressing up as a Ronald McDonald the clown and pretending to take orders at a shutdown McDonald's. Everything about these ownerships are done that way. It's all made for TV. They now shut you out in Berea and they have Browns television. And who's going to be in the media? Who's going to be on my side? Who's not? Who do you work for? You know, like all of that, right? And it's state run from within all of it. That's not just a Raven thing or a Browns thing or an NFL thing. That's really where sports is going as newspapers, radio guys go away. You and me have been doing this all of our lives. And I don't know where the oversight would be, but I do know there's a real fundamental issue when a year into this, DraftKings and Caesar Sports are presenting the post-game show with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson.
I mean,
And
MGM is in the
I
bullpens in baseball. Yeah, bet MGM.
And listen, I'll throw it to you and let you be Munch. Munch Bishop's our guest here from Cleveland. And we'll lament all this because I think it takes people like us with some wisdom and some mileage on the tires. In my wife's case, a couple of transplants, to look at this and say, what are we buying? What am I paying for? Who's getting the money? Where is it going as the Dodgers and Yankees play in the World Series, no less. But you know, the notion that what sports meant from a civic standpoint has been raped several times in Baltimore, certainly in Cleveland. And then when you actually get a team, you get Jimmy Haslam, Peter Angelos, Daniel Snyder, these slugs. And they, in the end,
You're being nice.
they bury Pete Rose and for betting one way or another. It is rich with irony that if you want to watch the Cincinnati Reds play baseball this year, you're doing it on a gambling network. It's unbelievable. It really is. And it's happened in the blink that the media has been thrown out, the accountability's gone away, and the magic pitch of their Pravda, right, whatever it is, becomes gospel for how you have to feel about Deshaun Watson when Jameis Winston's in the locker room saying he's a good man.
Well, who was Winston to talk about being a good man? That's all I'm going to say there. So we've gone from Deshaun, we've gone to another guy who is known for abusing women. And you know what I liked about, and Esther, by the way, and I want folks to know that they're tuned in now, that are, on WNST or wherever they're checking this out. You're amazing. I'm a big fan of yours, not as a human being, but what you do professionally. Because you know what? After doing this for 45 years, there's a lot of hacks out there. There's a lot of people in this business that want to meet girls, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Or they want to get free tickets or free passes. You're amazing. And that's why I like
I
doing this
wanted
with
to
you.
meet girls. Don't come on now. Back
Well,
in the
bro, we
90s.
met our girl,
Well,
okay?
now they throw you out of the locker room. That you know, there was always the rumor that I might have been, you know, one of those guys, not the Arnold Palmer guy. Like the rumoramas and like all of that stuff, and the reasons people are around. I remember being in Cleveland. There was a pretty young lady who was doing television. Next thing you know, she's married to Jim Thome, and I'm like,
Andrea Pasquale, yeah.
yeah. I mean, like I had not seen that part of media and relationships and players and marriages. We've had the same thing. Trey Mancini's wife, he battled cancer, was a Masson reporter. You know, they were co-workers, literally portrayed as media, but I the blur of the entertainment, which I buy, it's all entertainment, the gambling and the why am I a fan? Am I a fan of Pete Rose because he hustles, because he gambles, because he's cute, because he ate pizza, because I liked hit machines, because I liked the Reds, whatever it was 50, 60 years ago, I don't know what the affinity would be to think that the Orioles care about you if you're a citizen, because they don't. And it'll never appear or feel that way to me. But if you love baseball, you love the game, you like gambling on it, which I think is a that's their lane now, unfortunately, and that's not why I'm ever going to like baseball. But I do look at your franchise in Cleveland and our franchise here, and that's one of the reasons I wear my baseball. Because I mean, we could sit here and bitch about football all day.
I should have done some Guardians gear for you.
You
I'm
love the
sorry.
baseball team, right? And you love
Oh,
baseball, and we'll be watching the
100%.
world, and I do
Baseball is the
too.
best.
Yeah,
Sarah
give
Lang from
me a little
MLB.com coined that, yeah.
primer for you, because I didn't bother you last week when the games were on. John Martin from the Maryland Lottery is my Ohioan. He comes on every week, and you know his mood is set by the Guardians, never by the Browns anymore. But he's a Clevelander, and he famously, but your baseball team and what it's represented there. I mean, I'd like for the Orioles to make a couple ALCSs and a couple, even if they lose World Series. But like, Cleveland's had a nice baseball run since Hargrove and Albert Bell and, Ramirez and Loft. And it really has. It's been okay.
Oh, you look at the years with Tito, and then of course now this year. And it's interesting too, Nestor. Am I go? Do I go out of my way like you have Baltimore positive to be positive in Cleveland? Yeah, but there's also something called respect, and there's also something called okay. Does he know what he's talking about? Most of those in the know in the city had the Guardians with 72 wins max. I thought they were going to win at least 86 games. But the bottom line is that they exceeded expectations. It was a very good year. Of course, you're going to have someone say, well, there's a year's a failure. No, it's not. You had them winning 70 games. How could it be a failure? You had them at 70 and 92. They win 92 and they go to the ALCS. And you know what? We
Game
learned.
four was really, that'll be a maybe we could have, because game three was epic, right? Like
Yes,
we have this
as good as you
Delman Young
see.
moment here 13 years ago, and that we have Cal Ripken, the Pope, Cal Ripken. I'm trying to think, Billy Joel and McCartney played Camden Yards, and we have Delman Young hitting a double in the ALDS, right? Like, and since then, 10 losses in a row in the postseason. They scored one run in 18 innings. The Zach Britton thing is on the other end of that. The
Right.
sweep at the hands of the Rangers last year
Ugh.
after winning 101 games. I mean, there's been not a lot of moments for our franchise, at least in I always want to call them the Tribe because that's my old way, but
Hey,
in the
they're my
Guard.
tribe still, yeah.
I saw so many people wearing Andre Thornton jerseys. By the way, I Googled, and my wife will tell you.
Oh, please tell me.
I Googled, I'm watching the game, and it was game, it was the last game,
What'd you
the
see?
knockout, the game five. So it's, the shadows are down. I saw all the Indians gear, right? All the
Oh, yeah, you see a lot of
major
it.
league, whatever. But the dude had the 99 Cleveland front, 99 number, the Ricky Vaughn, and he kept showing up over the first base dugout. And I'm like, I'd wear that. I would buy that, and I would wear that, and I'd wear it somewhere. And I wouldn't wear the Indians because I don't want to be disrespectful in the Wahoo thing. I really, even Redskins thing, I'm trying to be like stopping that and moving like the, because on behalf of you, because you call them the Guardians every day,
Well,
you've
I will
moved
say
on.
this, if I could
But the,
jump in, I had no problem with the name Indians. My dad was a World War II Marine, all right? He was a factory worker. He used to like to fight when he was in high school and afterwards. But the bottom line is, as a real little kid, he used to tell me this Chief Wahoo is stupid, all right? It's a stupid looking thing. That's not how Indians look. He was an inner city guy also. But I had no problem with the name. No problem with the name. Redskins name, I had problem with it. I'm just telling you that. Oh, but once
Yeah.
your heart is bleeding. No, you know what? And people say you're woke. No, I'm right or wrong, okay? And that's what I am. So I just filled you in there. So you call them Indians, it doesn't offend me at all.
Well, I saw the six. I went out on the internet and I'm like, how much? So you 30, 40, $50, you can get one. And I'm thinking, That's almost like a Bad News Bears piece. You know what I mean? That's a nice
Yeah.
piece. But it says Cleveland. The white one said Cleveland on it, which was meant to be the home team with Euchre and all that stuff. Munch Bishop is our guest. He is out in Cleveland. He's suffering through football and post-baseball anxiety watching the Yankees
Now,
and the
hold on,
Dodgers and the
bro.
World Series.
Not
Where are you
suffering
on the
football.
baseball money thing? Because
I
we have new
divorced him.
ownership here, right? You've gone through new ownership out there a couple times through the course of time, and the level of expectation that has been set by your fan base calling the team cheap, whatever it is, whatever the beers cost, and whatever the experience of going, and whatever you're going to shell out to get your games. I'm trying to figure out the business model moving forward as a 56-year-old dude, last name Aparicio. I'm in for the next 20 years. If they're going to play baseball, what's it going to cost me? How do I get involved? How do you want me involved? How can I be involved? Not as even as a media member, but just what are you offering the fans in this experience? Because it feels to me like in Cleveland, they've built a little something there that all through your life, it's gotten better as you would see it, but you have to write a check to be involved. And that really is baseball at this point. You want to keep Gunnar Henderson? You want $50 million pitchers? Somebody's got to pay for it. And places like Baltimore and Cleveland, it's not going to be on the backs of Fortune 500 companies. It's going to be on the backs of your dad, my kids, whoever it is to pay for it if you want to have this team. And it is a premium thing. And if you don't believe that, put the World Series on this week and see who's playing in it.
I got to hit you with this. It's something fantastic. You talk about the experience of Progressive Field. I have sons 31 and 24. And the two, not this season, but last season, the Guardians started what they call the ballpark pass, $49 a month, standing room. I've been out with my sons, press pass tucked in with an adult beverage or two. They got like those little standing, bar areas, whatever you call them, a counter, and they have one in left field, one in right field. You can go to any game. Those are packed. They sell out of these $49 passes. Now, my sons love baseball. They're like me. Do they go to every game? How many home games are there usually in a month? 14, 13, 14, 15? They'll go to all but one or two because of this pass. Now, are they getting rich on the $49 passes? No. But all of a sudden, when you have a few thousand people snatching them up and a few thousand 24 and 31-year-old guys, and that's who's mostly in these areas, oh, they're having a couple of beers too. But by the way, get there an hour early, your beers are 12-ounce beers are $1 before the first pitch. So they've done
That was a
everything.
problem in Chicago once and in Cleveland, as I remember it, Dollar Beer Night now.
Well, that was dime beer night, bro. And that was, I want to say Schlitz or Stroh's. So these are some reputable light brand beers, okay? But the bottom line is they're doing everything possible to make the ballpark amenable to those that want to fork it out and sit behind the dugout, those that want to sit in a club seat and have all you can eat buffet, or like I said, my sons and their buds who just want to stand out, get a couple of hot dogs and a couple of beers and enjoy baseball because baseball is the best.
Jose Ramirez, man, I wanted it for him. I really did, Munch.
Well, you know what? Jose struggled in the postseason. You saw the results there. I mean, he is the heart and soul, one of the best players in the game, but he had a very, very rough postseason. Without him, they're not there, but he needed to perform better. And yes, I said that.
See, when you're a Cleveland baseball fan or a Baltimore baseball fan, and this is no disrespect to the Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, any teams that spend money, but I'm trying to figure out the model of what the offer is when you're a second citizenship place, when there's
Yeah.
never going to be revenue sharing. I saw that Rob Manfred said this week he's going to nationalize the media. I'm like, well, until you nationalize the payroll and the revenue,
Bingo.
but you're going to have rich and poor, and you're going to have this perception of the game that becomes a reality this year that hasn't been, but you better make sure it doesn't become that because you really then have second division team. I mean, it's bad enough you got the Oakland, whatever they are, Sacramento, Las Vegas, whatever they
Sacramento
are.
baseball team, yes.
Tampa doesn't have a stadium now that
I
the roof
know.
blew off, right?
Ugh,
So,
which is
and
not
then
a bad thing for that dump, yeah.
Miami's a disgrace as of just the whole thing. It should just be blown up 30 years later.
Dude,
And
thank you so much.
talk about
It's
scumbags
embarrassing.
running that organization. I mean,
Yeah.
that is a scumbaggery of scumbags, the Miami
Can
Marlins,
I
right?
quote you on that?
Yes, you can. But Munch, for me, with your situation in Cleveland and now our situation where these woke 24 and 31 year old $49 a month beer drinkers that don't understand anything about baseball, anything about
Whoa, whoa,
Angelos,
whoa. No,
anything.
they're huge
No,
baseball
your
fans, though.
guys, but I'm
Oh,
saying
many
here,
of
it's
them,
all
yeah.
fresh here. It's all new again.
Whoa.
Baseball being like decent and we compete, and we got to sign Gunnar. We got to sign. No, he's represented by Boers. He ain't signing no matter what. Philosophically, you don't understand. He's not signing. So don't put that pressure on the owner that that is an unmeasurable bar, right? So I would say for Cleveland and for Baltimore, as baseball people munch, we've always had to shop off a different shelf. And you see Juan Soto hitting these
We're
home
getting the
runs.
brands. We're not getting the name brands. We're
He's
getting
a
the
free agent, right?
Oh,
Juan Soto. Well, why can't we have good things, right? You don't think that even in football. All aside with Deshaun Watson, and we'll get to the Browns in a minute with you, but all the Deshaun Watson thing, it's not they couldn't afford him or they couldn't afford Amari Cooper, or they couldn't afford to keep the, you know, their star players, Myles Garrett. We're going to draft him and we're going to have to churn him over like he's Manny Machado because we can't afford him because he's going to sign with the Yankees. The boogeyman's going to come and get him. No other sport operates this way. Baseball does. And Rubenstein's into this, and Arrighetti's into this, and they've created some, I don't want to say false level of expectation based on what the Padres did for a minute before this guy died trying to buy a winner. But Cleveland's never been that place, and we're trying to figure out what a responsible Oriole ownership would look like or an irresponsible Oriole ownership in regard to win at all costs because I'm 75 years old and I just want to win, no matter what. Cleveland hadn't operated that way. Cleveland's operated responsibly, but still under the framework of the best five free agents, Snell, Burns, whoever they are, Soto, we can't have them. We can't shop there. That's really unfortunate for the sport, Munch. And I think the people here are going to figure that out when Katie Griggs calls and tells people how much it's going to cost to keep Gunner.
and you know what? Not just figure that out, but the fans too will see, and they see it as it is. You know, there's a saying, and it makes a lot of sense when you talk about the Cleveland baseball team. It's that not what you spend, but who you spend it on. Now, if you had the funds like some other teams, no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the Yankees. Soto was the perfect complement. I mean, come on. When you see so, and Gleyber Torres, by the way, killed the Guardians too. When you see Soto, Judge, and Stanton coming up. You know what? It's got to give you a peptic ulcer. No matter
Yeah, but
what
nobody
kind of
else
pitcher you
can
are.
afford to have those players. So you've
Exactly.
really created it that's always been there, but it feels a little festered when the Dodgers and Yankees are in the World Series. And it feels more festered in Baltimore, specifically for me, after 30 years of sitting here and being served Salisbury steak or dog food in some cases and being told it's filet mignon, that what's the expectation here, boys? And if you're only going to talk to your own media people and you're going to do $150 a night plates to get donor, the donor class to come, whatever that, the symphony class, I don't know what the hell that even means in Baltimore anymore. And I live here. I know the people who have money here and the people who like baseball or like sports or find value and for their employees or for their business acumen. But that is what generated the ability to keep Cal Ripken here, the ability to keep Mike Mussina, if the owner weren't a creep, like they had money here at one point. I don't know how they're going to make that happen again. Because in Cleveland, the one thing that I know that hasn't happened, the money hasn't come. Because the money's never going to come because your market can't afford it. It is what it is, and you've accepted that. I don't know what we're going to accept here in Baltimore after we
Most
accepted
have
Boston.
accepted it. You've got a small vocal minority, and most of them are rabid Browns fans too, the ones that don't look good in orange, okay, because they are jealous and have a dislike for the team. I mean, I had a media guy say to me on a sports panel the other day, you know what? I can't stand Haslam, but he spends money. I go, so you like the
No,
Browns
you, they
more?
just don't understand the sport.
No, they're morons. I mean, they're
Yeah, I
also
mean,
morons,
yeah,
and
they're
they
not.
talk just to talk, yeah.
Yeah, they're low information sports fans. I don't know what else to say. And I don't have time to fight with those people on Twitter. I write what I write. I say what I say. It's gospel because I've spent 40 years doing this. But the difference between the Yankees and the Dodgers and what the Orioles are trying to become, I don't even know what they're trying to become. I think they're trying to become the Indians.
A
And
winning
I'm
team.
saying, well, if you're trying to become the Indians, that's cool, but you're never going to have a Machado. You're never going to keep a Gunnar Henderson. You're just not. You're going to shop from a different shelf of players. And if that's the case, be frank about that. But You can't charge me top price either.
But
Then
you
you know
have
what I
to
mean?
know what shelf, what the better products are for all your generic products too. That's something that the Guardians have done in a big, big way with Mr. Antonetti, Mr. Chernoff, the guys that are making all the decisions there before them. Of course, Tito was a big help with that too. I mean, Tito identified players for them, and it'll be interesting to see what he does down in Cincinnati because they need someone like him. Is he a miracle worker? He certainly is.
Are you shocked he went back to work?
No, you know what? I was able to get a good relationship with him. Actually, it's interesting because when I was in the summer of 21 for my open heart surgery, he was also in the Cleveland Clinic on a different floor, though. Okay. But I was actually on a pretty dang good floor, too. But the bottom line is he was one of his surgeries that he had that year, and they just seemed to keep going. No, he did say right out, he is not retiring from baseball. The Indians that drive him out, he has to get healthy. And bang, he loves the game that much, Nestor. He's a baseball guy. Well, all of a sudden, being out for a year made a huge, huge difference. He had three or four, now think about that, three or four things fixed on a yearly basis, whether it was arches in his feet or on down the line. And so he felt good enough to get back in it, and he loves the game. He lives for the game. And my golly, that fella exudes baseball. And for all these free agents, for all the players, the young, the old, on down the line, and you can see some of the guys he's gotten rid of, whether it be Clevinger, I can go on and on. He has one rule: respect the game. If you respect the game, we'll be fine together. And the guys that don't respect the game, they're going,
Munch Bishop respects the game. He is out in the land
gone.
of Cleve as the Browns come in here this week. We both have our nose pressed up against the baseball glass, watching the Dodgers and the Yankees. Certain great World Series, great players. Been a great postseason. It's been good to be involved again, to feel vested again as a Baltimore person, to think we can make the playoffs too. We can compete even if they had one run in 18 innings. We won't talk about that. On to the football thing for you with this Watson disaster. And listen. Haslam, his indiscretions, all of that. What now happens there? I mean, and again, I wouldn't want to be the guy out selling Browns tickets right now. I wouldn't have wanted to have been the guy the last 3 years. I mean, Haslam scumbag put his wife out in front of this with Watson and all of that. But from a franchise perspective, what happens to Stefanski? What happens on the field? What happened? They have to play 9 games now. They got better the last time they lost to Deshaun Watson. My buddy Joe Flacco came in last year. We play them this week and it just expect to roll in there and win by 3 touchdowns. I don't know. I don't know
You
where the
should win by
level of
4 or 5, just so you know.
4 or 5 touchdowns.
Yes,
Okay.
sir.
All right. Well, you can wager on that now in America.
Oh, don't worry. I wagered big time on the Bengals last Sunday for entertainment purposes only. Wink.
Right, of course. Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore. It's all brought to you on the Caesars Sports Network. So, there. But how do you
I
feel
still go
about?
with Tubby and the boys in Youngstown. Come on.
Listen, they've been through a lot there. Or 0-16s before there were 17 games, and Hugh Jackson, and just all they've been through a lot. But this is a whole new thing of salary cap hell, where they're going to play with 75% of the money anybody else is going to play with the next couple of years. Right? That's
Yeah, in fact,
what's really going to happen. Right?
next year, DeShame, as I like to call him, will not even play. And guess what? There's the biggest cap hit for against this team in next season. They're already looking around to shop some more players. Amari Cooper, and something that gets me, I understand that, if you're a member of the Browns, Watson joined the team, you don't have a lot of say so with who's put on the team with you, okay? But Amari Cooper now is turning out to be, well, he was a detriment in the locker room. You know what? He did not fathom and did could not stand Deshaun Watson and what he has done and what he stood for. And the other guy's turning a blind eye. Well, that was just him. And did he want out in the biggest way? He certainly did. People will say, well, you know what? Was he dropping passes on purpose, running wrong routes? No, his heart just wasn't in it. When your heart's that in a game that you need to play to that level, if your heart's not there, then you're not going to play to that level. But the bottom line is they're in a world of trouble. I'm hearing that Chubb and Miles may be the only two gentlemen on that inner gentleman. The kind of guys I would like to root for, that may be the only two that they wouldn't trade because of mutiny, quote unquote, by the rabble.
Well, there's also the tanking part of Let's stink bad so we get the next Tim Couch, the next Johnny Football, the
Oh, they're
next.
going to get it. We got right now. They've got the number one overall, and this is a bad football team. They don't tackle. They don't cover. And you know what? The guys that don't tackle and cover, they're the ones that tell us the most that yeah, we're the world's greatest defense. It's like you want to score some touchdowns. You know some of the guys in the purple and black. Tell them to throw at Greg Newsome or Mitchell or even Emerson. He was telling us about Emerson Island before the season started. It must have got washed away in one of these tropical storms.
Well, and Stefanski seems like a decent enough guy, and
He's a very, very fine
I
man.
think you know of my relationship with George Kokinas and Phil Savage, and certainly Mike Pettine. I mean, I have known so many people that have gone out to Cleveland trying to fumigate it, trying to be a part of it, trying to build something, putting their lives, and their career into it. Stefanski, was up in Minnesota doing good things, and
He's an
I.
A1 human being, and I always look at things like that too.
You know, I Dave Zastittle had an eye surgery this week, and I was going to have him on. Dave's an old
Huh.
buddy of mine, Cleveland guy. I love Dave.
Bay
And he's like,
Village, yes.
he could do radio, but not video. I'm like, Dave, I'll have you on when you're feeling better or whatever. But I text Dave back, and I said to him, I said, bad ownership will get you blown up every time. Like, I've witnessed that here with the Washington football team, certainly with the Angelo situation, what happened here with Irsay prior to that. And when the ownership, the chakra's not aligned there in the way that it needs to be, especially in regard to the community, and especially with the trauma that's happened in Cleveland with Art Modell and with everything that's gone on there, there is a point, and I've had this conversation with Jim Schwartz and Mike Tomlin one night over a beverage in at the Biltmore in Arizona when Schwartz took the 0-16 job in Detroit, right?
Ooh.
He took right, and Jimmy, the Baltimore guy, love Jimmy. And I'm like, and they both said, no. When you get a chance to take any of these jobs, you take the job.
Sure you do.
And I do remember Ozzie and Phil sitting up in the top of the Cleveland press box at one point, and this is a long time ago. And I
Not that
remember
long.
Ozzie saying something to me to the effect of, and I'm not paraphrasing as much as I'm dead on. They both looked dead to the world for whatever reason. It must have been like 04 when we were bad, they were bad. Whatever. It was a December game. Place is empty. It's Cleveland. It was always empty, right?
No,
So
it's always filled. That's
they're
what's
both like
shocking.
this, and I went up and I said, you guys, you're running things, whatever. I gave them a little wisecrack or whatever, an hour and a half before the game, as I do. And I think Ozzie said something to the fact of, ain't none of these jobs any good.
I love that one. That sounds like
And
something Ozzie would say.
yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of where it was for me. But I thought to myself, all of these owners are a little bit crazy. The stakes are high. The drama's high. It's a Real Housewives show now in so many ways. Hard Knocks, out in social media, when you sign divas, when you deal with Marlon Humphrey running around the plane live on Instagram and Lamar Jackson saying, put the phone away, dude. I threw two interceptions. They put the phone away. Like, there's a whole different Antonio Brown out shilling for this creep, right? Like, just crazy, crazy
It's
media that,
senseless, yes.
yeah, well, there's all of that that buys into it. And I guess my point is, full circle, Kevin Stefanski's trying to win football games and keep these kids' heads into like just trying to make plays on Sunday to not embarrass themselves, because it feels like this thing could get out of control in Cleveland where he would say, I can't even be a part of this anymore. These guys don't want to play football. I can't motivate them, and it's on my record. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a little bit of that going on there. You already
But a
mentioned guys like
job is a
Amari Cooper.
job. A
Yeah.
job, like you said earlier, a job is a job. Here's the thing, too, when you talk about the kids not playing on a few possessions on Sunday. And once my youngest son texted me saying, Watson's out of the game, DTR's. And I said, you know what? I might flip it on there for a while because I don't watch or listen. And I will not watch or listen when Watson is involved on the field. I won't watch this Sunday with Winston as a starting quarterback. I have to be able to look myself in the mirror, and I don't want to have to take a shower with a wire brush every night when these guys are out there on the field. But you don't have just one tackle jumping, Nestor. You have two tackles jumping. You have touchdowns being negated left and right because of a hold or because of not being set up properly, 12 men on the field out down the line. Yeah, there's something more than just coaching. Very few of the players are into it, and that's a shame. And that is the Haslam culture. Culture means so much. You say, come on, Munch. So do the players. Of course they do. But culture on a team means so much to success. There's no culture on this team. This is
Well,
Nero when Rome burned.
that's a That's apparent, right? And Joe Flacco was such a. I had you on during that period of time last year. And I just love, and I say this when I have people like you on, especially with Joe, because I haven't had anybody on from Indy lately. But Joe shows himself every single day to be the guy that I always professed him to be. And people would say, "Why do you love Joe Flacco so much?" And I'm
He's
like,
good people,
because
man. He's as good as they get.
in an industry full of vagabonds and creepy people and having to spend time with Terrell Suggs and Marlon Humphrey and, just in a general sense, the Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers of the world and Brett Favre and Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Watson, as you call it, like Joe Flacco is a breath of fresh air. And anyone that is that Wheaties cover guy who's a legitimate dude. It seems like Chris Godwin, who got injured the other night, all of the words of him and that Walter Payton Award. There's a lot of that that goes on in this league. There is. But on the other side of that, the Deshaun Watson thing is such a tragedy for your community and for the people that love football in Cleveland. And I know a lot of them.
It just sums it up in a big way. And Nestor, what kind of wisdom do I have? Okay, you talked about some miles this night. By the way, just so you know, I can still hear you. I can't see you. Something happened.
All
But
right.
if you see me, I hope I'm smiling. But the bottom line is this flashback, okay, is that he said, I'm not going to go to Cleveland. I don't want to go to Cleveland. Well, the egomaniac, Jimmy Haslam, said, he'll come here because I'll give him more money than anybody else. You know, when you go somewhere simply for the money, your heart's not into it. You're not into it. You know what? And again, I'm taking away that his, dastardly off the field deeds. It's not going to work. And it's being proven that it's not going to work. Come on. Before this injury, he has been awful. He's been worse than bad. And once the king leaves the throne, you know what, brother? It's hard for him to go back on it.
Yeah, I think I have a tweet somewhere from a couple of years ago asking how many games he was actually going to win, whether he was going to win a playoff game ever for the money that was given him. And look, that was when the Ravens threw me out. I was down there watching Bisciotti storm around, smoking his cigars about signing Lamar and what it would mean for the whole structure of quarterback contracts and guaranteed money as well. Munch Bishop knows all about that. He knows sports better than anybody out in Cleveland. He is a Munch. I'll tell people to find you on social media and your shows and your podcast and all that stuff. But I liked finding you the best when we were there in Tremont having a proper breakfast together
When
and
you're
having
coming
that
back, they're
shipwreck together.
looking for you. I was just
Well,
there. They said, "Where's your
Rock and Roll
buddy?"
Hall of Fame, and I known the other night there'd be a playoff game, and things would be cool in the gang and be getting put in. I'd be a celebration. So, I will be out for the next Rock and Roll Hall of Fame entryway when they put sticks in. They put Foreigner in, put sticks in the Hall of Fame. What's wrong with you people?
Tommy Shaw and the boys need to be. You know what? Warren Zevon needs to be in there too.
Posthumously, of course, the late great. Hey, dude,
Yes.
you and I did a whole Michael Stanley thing last time, so I don't want to make you cry. Munch Bishop's here. He's got to go. We got to go beat the Cleveland Browns again this weekend. It almost feels unfair, but I hope things get better for you. I don't know what else there is to say. You're in Cleveland. You had a nice run on the baseball field. You're probably in our way every October. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We love Munch Bishop, and
Hey,
we're Baltimore
Eddie
positive.
Money called me Mitch years ago.
Oh, well, the money man.